And we are live on Blog Talk Radio. I guess my Chiefs Wiggum voice there. On Blog Talk Radio for Sports Club. I'm your host, Jeremy the Impact York. The other guys are off either on assignment or vacation. They'll be back in the next coming weeks. But it's off season, so it means you get to spend more time with me. And for those of you who didn't just click the podcast off, we definitely appreciate it. Fun stuff we're going to get into today. We'll talk about this new startup league that will be joining us next year. We're going to talk about Vontaze Burfict finding a different way to get suspended. And a little bit later in the show, we're going to welcome in from 92.9 The Game. He is Mark Owens. Trust me, you have either seen or heard him before. We're going to talk some Georgia Swarm and Atlanta Braves and some other fun stuff with Mark. He's a fantastic dude. Well, welcome in. Yeah, let's go ahead and start right here. Let's start with a narrative that a lot of people have been leading with. It was a popular narrative, so I understand where people are coming from. But I'm not saying you're wrong. Now, I'm not saying that you're incorrect to think these sorts of things, but we all know Johnny Manziel has a little bit of a checkered past, some off-the-field things. You know, a lot of people think he washed out of the league. Not technically. From what I've seen, he's gotten married in the last year or so. He's doing a lot of good things. He doesn't have any videos of him on swans or in Vegas bathrooms. And he's been working out. He had a chance to play in Canada, decided he wanted to play in a different spring league because it was faster. He's trying to get in front of people again. Well, he has found a new way to get in front of people. And it's not controversial, actually. It's pretty genius. I'm not sure exactly how he was able to do this, but at the pro day at, it's either University of San Diego or San Diego State, I believe it's University of San Diego, one Jonathan Manziel was throwing passes. In a way, he was working out as though it was his pro day. But he was throwing some passes. He was getting in front of some people. I know what you guys are saying. Well, he washed out of the league. He doesn't deserve to be here, or he had his chance. And no, all those could be valid points. But this league needs that edgy guy, do they not? They need that edgy guy. They need that guy. It makes you want to turn on the TV just to see what's going to happen. Yeah, powder keg, so to say. And I'm not saying because it's going to be a failure, because I want Johnny Manziel to work out in this league. Am I wrong for thinking that? I don't think so. Just like I wanted Tim Tebow to work out. It just didn't work out in his favor. He found a different place. But no, Johnny Manziel was able to get in front of NFL eyes again. Owners, GMs, scouts. And from what was told, he was spinning the ball well. He looked to be in good shape. I'm sure they talked to him, so nothing crazy came out of that. And not just that. Not just the fact that he was able to do that. Because a lot of people go, well, it's a pro day from a smaller school. Who all was actually there? Well, from what I heard, anywhere between 11 to 13 different teams. So a third of the league, at least a third of the league was there. You can't tell me that at least half of them didn't know he was going to be there before they showed up. from what was told, the Denver Broncos were there because John Elway is going to do everything he can to explore every quarterback possibility to make that team right. He knows that team's not far off. He's not dumb. You don't get to be in charge of football teams by being dumb. Even for those who didn't go, I'm sure they had some sort of person there that can get back with them. And, hey, you know, Johnny was spinning the ball pretty good. So before we start judging people and before we start, you know, well, he had his chance. And it's the National Football League. Yeah, it means not for long to a lot of people, but for some people, you get it also means newfound life. You do get those second chances. You know, if the NFL didn't give second chances, then people like Kurt Warner wouldn't be in the Hall of Fame. Kurt Warner got a second shot at it, made the most of it, made more than the most of it. He's a Hall of Famer. He's a part of one of the best offensive teams ever in the history of the game. All because he got a second chance. You know, it's one thing in society nowadays that we don't give enough people chances, let alone second chances. Sometimes that's deserved. I can get that. But you got to think, at some point in your life, somebody took a chance on hiring you, on picking you, on choosing you. I mean, if you have a significant other, that means at one point they took the chance that they wanted to spend the rest of their life with you and only you. If you had kids, you know, we're not talking kids, family, that kind of thing. They said you're it. They could have easily stayed out and not had to make that decision. They decided it was you. And it's similar to how a GM would pick a quarterback or how an owner would pick a GM even. Sometimes how we pick things can be influenced by all sorts of things. But in this case, somebody's going to take a chance on Johnny Manziel. I don't think it's going to be Cleveland because they hold a lot more cards this time around than last. But some team is going to take a shot here. Maybe the Miami Dolphins. Maybe the Jets. The Jets hold some cards too. But maybe the Dolphins. The Bills. Who knows? I can't lie. I don't know who the backup is here in Atlanta. But if you told me that I had 5 seconds to determine who Matt Ryan's backup is because Matt Ryan just got injured. He didn't, by the way, knock on wood. But if Matt Ryan was down, you had to hand over the reins for the rest of the season to somebody. Of all the people out there, I'm okay with Manziel. Not sure he's my top choice, but he's definitely not my last. No, we need Johnny Manziel. We need that edgy cockiness that people like Aaron Rodgers. Russell Wilson's got a little bit of swagger to him. See, I don't. A lot of people think it's that cockiness. I don't think that's the right word. It's a swagger to him. When the doors fly open and they walk through, you know business is about to pick up. For the better or for the worse, we don't know. But either way, it's going to be entertaining. And is that not what we ask from our sports? That's what we ask when we flip on a regular TV show. You turn on Game of Thrones, are you asking them to do your taxes or to, you know, pay your bills? No. You're asking the people who make Game of Thrones to entertain you for that hour and a half time slot. That's what we do when we watch sports. So if it's up to me, somebody's going to give Johnny a shot. If it works out, I guess we'll see. But at some point, he's going to get his shot, and I, for one, am behind him and can't wait for it. Now, I want to talk a little bit of baseball before Mark gets on. I'm going to stay away from the Braves on purpose. I saw where the Milwaukee Brewers did a remake video of one of the most iconic baseball scenes. And that would be one from The Sandlot, the called shot from The Sandlot movie. And if you haven't seen it, I think it's on a lot of Facebook circulation. You could probably go to MilwaukeeBrewers.com or whatever their website is. It's a fantastic remake. It really is. And really my only point about this was they step outside their comfort zone. A bunch of guys that most of the rest of us that don't follow the Brewers closely don't know made a really good video. I don't know who did the videography for it or who put it together, but just fantastic. So I applaud the efforts of the Brewers. At least they're getting out there. At least they're letting people know, hey, we're having fun. They're in a rough division. Got to do something. You know, I said earlier on part of the tease up, or maybe I typed it as part of the write up. It's not been the world's best time in the last week or so if you have a March Madness bracket. I get it. So many ones and twos and fours and fives and threes even. So many top seeds are already sitting at home. It's been one of the craziest years that I've seen. And I've been following March Madness my whole life, like you guys all have. You may not watch much during the regular season, but the playoffs hit and everybody fills out a bracket. And if you don't fill out a bracket, you usually talk about not filling out a bracket until you fill out a bracket. But in this case, I filled out a couple different ones for the different contests going on. I always change mine up just a little bit. Usually I fill them out about an hour apart where I don't quite remember who I picked on certain games, and that way I tend to stay away from the pattern. Even at this point, all three of them are pretty not looking pretty. We'll put them that way. They're not looking pretty, but no, I need to restore your faith and to tell you, you need to keep your faith in college basketball. You know, the one and done rule they talk about maybe getting rid of that, where if you want to come out of high school, that's fine, because only 5, 6, 7 kids a year are going to know they're good enough to come out of high school. The rest of them are going to go to college. Something they're thinking about is if you apply for the draft and don't get drafted, that maybe you can go back to college. That's not a bad idea, but then to me, you're going to have to move the draft down some earlier in the year so that they have time to enroll, because most of the time, by the time the NBA draft happens, all these college teams have their rosters set. They have their camp invites ready to go. And, you know, it's going to be hard for a lot of those guys to land. And you don't want to put one of these coaches in a position where he has to tell maybe his 12th best player, his 13th best player, I'm sorry, we can't even let you keep your scholarship because this one guy who thought he could play in the NBA but didn't get drafted wants to come here and he's way better than you. Not necessarily the message we want to send there, but no, I understand that. But no, you need to keep your faith because college basketball is another form of entertainment, just as I'm talking. Maybe today's theme is entertainment. It's entertaining to watch these young guys and some of these veteran teams that have been together for 3 or 4 years. You get to see all the one-and-done guys on one team like a Kentucky. Then you get to see some of these Purdue and Michigan guys that have been there 2 and 3 years, played with each other a lot, played as a team. You know, you get to see a mixed match of all these different things, where before it was all the tenured teams. That's all you would see. The few that would leave early were not big enough impacts to the team because it was all about the team. No, now we're seeing more individuals. We're seeing more matchups. We're seeing more fun things. So you need to keep your faith in college basketball because, first of all, the tournament's not over. And don't we, as much as we enjoy seeing the same teams in it all the time, whether we admit it or not, it's also fun sometimes when somebody different wins. You know, think about a raffle or even the lottery. As much as we don't like that we don't win the lottery, when you see that maybe that farmer that was about to lose his farm, or maybe a family that's been living in their car, you know, the real good stories, the feel-good stories, when they win the lottery and we see them on there, don't you feel good about it? If you don't, maybe you should see a therapist, but no, you feel good about it. If I can't win, maybe somebody needed it better than me, and maybe they won, you know? We don't see CEOs of tech companies winning the lottery. We don't see people who already come from a lot of money typically win the lottery. So, you know, think of it like that. We're going to get to see somebody new this year. I'm not going to say who my front runner is at this point because I don't even it doesn't matter to me. If I do well in a contest, I do well. If not, that's fine too. But I've just been a spectator and watched as many games as I could. I've seen some good stuff. Because as a Hawks fan, you know, we're wishing, hoping, praying that we get one of these guys when they enter the draft. But either way, college basketball is entertaining. It's one of the top sports in the country for a reason. And we should support these kids because, in a way, they'll support us. They're the next leaders. So, you know, maybe it'll restore your faith. Maybe you'll continue watching. Maybe you'll completely turn it off until October when it fires back up. But either way, don't turn your back on college basketball. It's still a really good thing. Where can we go from here? It's being talked about, obviously, with Philadelphia winning the Super Bowl. For those under a rock or just being unthawed from your ice block, the Philadelphia Eagles won the Super Bowl in February. They defeated the New England Patriots. It was a good game. Entertaining. But in looking at their schedule for this year, the opening game is clearly going to be that Thursday kickoff, and really the kickoff game comes down to two games. We've kind of talked about this before, but there's a leading candidate now. One of the first choices that people mentioned is you could have Jerry Jones and the Dallas Cowboys go up to Philadelphia and watch their rival raise a banner and pass out rings. I could see where that would be entertaining as a Cowboys fan. It's not my favorite in the world, but as a sports talk radio host and as a producer and other things, yeah, that would be pretty entertaining. The other obvious game would be a rematch of the NFC title game, which is the one that's kind of being favored at the moment. Nobody's really came out and said anything. It's all speculation still. But they're saying maybe Kirk Cousins and the Minnesota Vikings traveling to Philadelphia to take on, I mean, maybe Carson Wentz. I don't know if Carson will be ready by then, but Nick Foles and the defending champion Eagles. This game here could be quite nice. Could. There's been a couple faces change here. You know, as we always say, same faces, different places. We don't know if Chris Long will be back with Philadelphia, but Minnesota signed some people. They've restructured some other contracts, brought in some other faces to make their roster better, obviously Kirk Cousins being the main one. Philadelphia has added, in fact, if I just saw it right, they just added Mike Wallace for a $4 million contract. That's pretty incredible. And this is going to be the best kickoff game we can get off the Philadelphia schedule. There's nobody else that's going to give us that intrigue. There's two quarterback controversies, one on either team. What can Kirk Cousins actually do in Minnesota? What can Carson Wentz get back in time and be up to form as the MVP form he was before he got injured? Or is it the Nick Foles show again? Is Nick Foles still in town at that point? You know, there's a lot of things that can really go into things like that. There's just a lot of different things. But by far, Minnesota at Philadelphia, if that indeed is the kickoff game, I'm okay with it. Because, like I said, the only other version would be to have the Dallas Cowboys kick off against to go to Philadelphia and watch your rival raise the banner and pass out rings. And like I said, from a producer and host standpoint, yeah, that'd be pretty entertaining. But as a Cowboy fan and as a human, I guess, somebody that looks out for other people, that's unfair. That's definitely unfair. But I believe we have our guest on the line. So without further ado, I'm going to bring him on right now. You have either heard him on 92.9 The Game, or you have seen him as the in-house MC of the Georgia Swarm and Atlanta Braves. He is Mark Owens. How you doing, Mark?
Hey, guys. Man, what's going on? Hey, long-time listener, first-time caller.
Yeah, I don't have a dinger. I'll try to do a bell sound if you give out this.
We'll do our own poor man sound effects. Ding! All right.
Yeah. Yeah.
How's it going?
I know that probably made your day now and everything, but no, how have you been? It's been a little while since I've actually talked with you.
Man, things are good. We had, this is like the calm before the storm. We had rehearsal last night at SunTrust Park, just getting everything ready. And Monday with the exhibition game, my summer is officially over because baseball is back. So kind of enjoying the last couple of nights with the family and everything before it all kicks back in.
Yeah, that's something my wife looks at is after the Super Bowl. She typically looks and goes, all right, so some of your weekends are now free. But now that we've kind of started doing some stuff with the storm and finishing up with the Gladiators and spring ball for Georgia State and Kennesaw State, it's she's like, never mind, I'll see you in July.
Yeah, it's funny, towards the end of the season, because the baseball season is so long, August, September, you know, Gretchen, my wife, she starts saying, oh, God, when's the season over? You know, we miss you. We've had a whole summer without you. When are you going to be home? And then the season wraps up and we have the holidays and, you know, you have football season and the holidays and the new year. And then around probably mid to late January, she'll start looking at me and saying, so when does baseball come back? Because you are around here a lot. I'm tired of seeing you. Well, that's about how it works.
Oh, yeah. But as I said, not only on 92.9 The Game, but you are the – I never know the official title. You are the, the MC of the Swarm and the Braves?
Yeah, in-game host, I think is –
There we
or,
go.
I'm just – they say jump, I say how high. I'm like their puppet. You know, they they just say read this and make sure you're loud and make sure you get the sponsor read and everybody's happy. So, but the official title is in-game host for both the Swarm and the Atlanta Braves.
How did you come across those opportunities?
You know, it's funny. I played baseball, and I'm going to take you a little far back to get to right where we're at now. But I played baseball growing up my whole life, and I was a child born and raised here in Smyrna, and played baseball. My parents got divorced and moved out to West Cobb, and I played out in West Cobb baseball, went to Harrison, and I loved it. I loved the sport. I mean, I'm a big guy. I probably should have played football, but I just fell in love with baseball. And once I got to high school, it was all those West Cobb, East Cobb kids, and they were good. Mm-hmm. The likes of Adam Everett and, Corey Patterson and Bruce Suter, was one of the coaches.
Yep.
His kids were playing. And once I got to high school, I realized, dude, there's no way in hell I'm going to be able to play baseball, further than, travel ball in the rec league and everything. So in high school, I kind of said, well, I need an elective. I need something to do to pass the time and, keep me out of jail. And my brother had taken some theater classes, my older brother. He said, I'd give it a shot. It's fun. It's easy. So I got involved in theater, and I just fell in love with it. So I think that is where I kind of learned my craft of being in front of a crowd, working on a microphone, not getting stage fright, knowing how to work your voice and, how to react to crowds. And then that got me involved in radio. And when I was working for the Burt Show, and this was, 12 years ago, Jeff Dollar, who was on the Burt Show at the time, now he's with Star 94 here in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
He was the in-game host for the Atlanta Braves. And he told me one morning, he said, look, they're looking for a new plaza host out at Turner Field. And said, I was, 27 at the time or 26. And he said, you've got some energy. Why don't you go give it a shot? It's just like a little pep rally at the beginning of the game. And I said, yeah, I'll go audition for it. And I auditioned for it, and I got the job. And so my first gig with the Braves was just a little pep rally host. And then he had done the in-game stuff for about 3 years. And my first year there he said, I'm done. I've had fun. And he goes, so I'm going to recommend that, you take it if you want it. And then, they came and they said, do you want it? I said, let's go. And, man, I'm not lying. It was originally for the Braves. It was originally a 2 to 3 year job for, beer and Vegas money. And now 12 years later, I'm married with a kid. Now it's princess and Disney money. So just kind of working in radio too, kind of my schedule allows me to do it. So just kind of a process of just growing up and loving the sport and also kind of learning the traits of working in front of a crowd. It's all worked out very well.
that it definitely has. I mean, that's actually a better story than Chuck Oliver from 680 The Fan, where it was an open casting call, and his buddies were like, if you don't go, we're seriously not going to hang out with you anymore. We're not going to buy any more beer for you. You know, we're literally not going to be your friend. And he's like, all right. So I walk in there, and I go through my spill, and then I'm still here. And I was like, that's a heck of a story.
He literally got shamed into getting involved in
right.
radio. That's funny.
Well,
and now sometimes.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, you know, he was shamed at doing radio. Now there's some days where I leave my radio show and I feel shameful. So it's kind of weird how it all works out together.
Oh, it all comes full circle. It really does. But we are talking with Mark Owens from 92.9 The Game. And, of course, he is the in-game host. Let me get that right one day. The in-game host for the Georgia Swarm and the Atlanta Braves. You talked about the Braves there. So, I mean, I know spring training is spring training. It's the same way as an NFL preseason. It is glorified practice for the most part. So we've seen some things here and there. But as far as what they're going to do out at SunTrust this year, what's some things we can look forward to this year?
You know, I think this is, as far as on-the-field play, you know, it almost sounds like a cliche now with the young crop of Braves players that have come up through the farm system. You know, last year you saw Dansby, you saw Ozzie Albies come up, you saw Sean Newcomb, some of these young pitchers coming in. And, you know, of course, all the talk right now is Ronald Acuna. And I want to get your opinion on this, too, because this has been a hotly contested conversation piece over the past couple of days because the Braves announced
that
they're going to, yeah, I know, right? They're going to send Acuna back down to the minors for a couple of weeks, which on the business side of it gives them the availability to hang on to him for another year, which I get it. And some people are furious. And some people are saying that, you know, the Braves are doing the fans wrong. You know, if the Braves really want to make a run, you've been promising us for so long that you've got this great farm system and you're building for the future of the Atlanta Braves. And, you know, you've got arguably one of the best players, if not the best, you know, minor league player in baseball, and you're going to send him to Gwinnett. Well, my opinion of that is the Braves, the team doesn't owe the fans anything. The team's job is to put the best product on the field. The team's job is to build the best team humanly possible. Now, as far as it owing the fans, I owe the fans when they come to SunTrust Park. I own the fans as part of the entertainment department. That even though it's a Tuesday in August and the Marlins are in town and there's only 10,000 fans in the crowd, I still have to give 100%. Okay, that is my job. As far as the X's and O's go, as far as spring training, who they're sending where, their job is to put the best team possible on the field here, now, and to continue to build forward. I don't think by putting Ronald Acuna with the Gwinnett – or the Stripers, excuse me, Gwinnett Stripers now for the equivalent of 12 home games, that if people are saying – what happens if we miss the wild card by one game and it was a game we lost at the beginning of the season? Well, okay, now you're playing what if 6 months from now. You know, what happens had I bought the lottery ticket at that one station that somebody won? I could have won. You know, there's a lot of people playing hindsight or doing the forward thinking. There are so many variables that are going to happen between now and September. There are so many – look at Freddie Freeman getting hurt, and he was out for so long. You know, last year, injuries are going to happen. Players are going to get traded. So I think everyone getting really upset and fired up about them putting Acuna with the Stripers for a couple of weeks. I think it's just – and I get the frustration. I think people are frustrated with the team of the 90s that won so many games and so many championships, and now we're so craving it. We're just so thirsty for another great team, and you see that opportunity in front of you, and then it's like – you're emotionally so invested and you get hurt. So to go way far back about 20 minutes ago, when you asked me the original question, what do I see is going to happen? I'm just going to see you're going to have a Braves team that is continuing to build. You're going to see a lot of the youth movement moving around, but I'll tell you, it's a pitching man's game. Everything you want to say about Acuna, you can say it, but man, it's all about what's on the mound. And that's what I think is going to be fun to watch this season.
Definitely so, and I will answer your question first, and then we will get into the rest of what you said, because I actually like the way you phrased it there. I mean, obviously we know it's a business. Everything's a business. Even, you know, where your kid goes to school, guess what? That school's a business. It's about making money and having kids be prosperous, that kind of thing. A team is obviously a business. My fault in or not really a fault, but my take on this, apparently I was having the same somewhat heated discussion on Facebook that Buck Ballou was having on Twitter, as we found out about 5 minutes after we both finished our arguments. But I don't mean to keep mentioning the enemy territory people either. It just happened to be the people I ran into this week. But it's to a point where, yeah, we know it's a business. So I have no problem with them optioning him there. And in fact, it may be a way for them to sell more striper jerseys, because people will actually recognize players, because Gwinnett kind of had a turnover as well. And those are weird looking jerseys. Even the gladiator forms of them look weird. But my thing is they optioned him, and then they tried to play it off one way instead of just going, hey, we sent him there. You guys know why we sent him there. Let's just call a spade a spade. Let's not try to masquerade this as anything more than, yeah, we're making the business decision that we want that extra year, so we're going to sacrifice a handful of games, and it is what it is. I do like what you say when people start playing the what-if game, because I always say, when they say stuff like the Falcons years ago, well, they were just a handful of yards from going to the Super Bowl, or they were this moment from that. And I'm like, well, every day is full of so many moments that could go one way or another. In a football game, let's say your offense has 60 offensive plays. You can't let it fall down to one play. It's like going to an MMA fight and letting the judges decide the game. What is it? The guy that runs MMA stuff. I forgot his name now. Dana White. Yeah, Dana White always told his fighters, he goes, look, if you let it go to the judges, you can't be mad about it, because you had 3 to 5 rounds to end this your way. So if you let somebody else make a decision for you, like letting it all ride on one play, you kind of get what you get. So my whole thing was I didn't quite like the way they were trying to masquerade it. They should have just came out and said, look, you guys are smart. It's what the wrestling business did years ago. They went, look, our fans are a lot smarter than and a lot more clever. They're up on all the stats, all the things. Mm-hmm. We optioned him for the same reason you thought. But, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, that it's the right decision.
Oh, I agree. You know, it's funny. Years ago when Evan Gattis was with the Braves, mm-hmm. and he was just on a tear. I mean, it's like every time he got up to bat, he did one or two things. He struck out or he hit a home run. And more mm-hmm. often than not, he was hitting home runs. And they used him as a great promotional piece. And they had Evan Gattis night. And they sold a bunch of tickets out in the outfield, and they called it the Bear Cave. And they sold T-shirts with the ticket package that had El Oso Blanco on the – I still have my shirt. And they gave away these foam bear paws. And everybody in the section was sitting there. And they did good. I mean, they probably sold about 500 seats. And it was a great night. And people were fired up, and they were ready to see Evan Gattis. Well, this goes back to where, you know, you can't let emotion dictate how the team plays, because Freddy Gonzalez was obviously the manager at the time, but it's Evan Gattis night, and he's the hottest name, you know, on the Braves right now. They didn't even start Evan Gattis. Furthermore, on his night, he didn't even get put in to pinch hit that night. So on the one night where the team does all this promotion around him, he didn't even get to see 1 second of play. So when people say, you know, I hear people say, well, the Braves owe it to the fans to give them Ronald Acuna to start the season. No, they don't. They've got to do what's best for the team. And, yeah, if it comes down to it, and like I say, at the end, if we are one game out of the wild card and it's one game that we lost in early April, you can look back and go, well, damn, it would have been nice to have Acuna there. But, you know, what about the other games that you lost that you could have or should have won? So, you know, you can't play hindsight for something that hasn't even happened yet.
Exactly. And as we finish up here with 92.9 The Games, Mark Owens, I wanted to talk a little bit of Swarm here, because that is where we actually cross paths. Not only did they have that just magnificent run, that's what caught my attention from the Swarm last year, because we were doing a lot of stuff with the Gladiators, and somehow I crossed paths with somebody in the front office of the Swarm. For the life of me, I can't remember which one it was, but that's what kind of got us doing some stuff this year with them. But they had that fantastic run. They've got a really, really incredible team. They've been on SportsCenter a handful of times from some of these plays they're doing. What's been your overall take of this Swarm season?
I love it. I, you know, when they asked me you know, when they first got started, and they came up to the station, and we were going to do some work with them to do some advertising, and they found out that I did some in-game hosting, and they invited me to come up, hey, would you like to be our in-game host? And, you know, originally I said no. I said, you know, I just the schedule overlaps with the Braves too much, and obviously my first – my first priority is for the Atlanta Braves, and I don't want to commit to something and not give you a full season. And this year it came about where they said, well, can we try it again? I said, yeah, let's do it. But the first thing I told them, I said, look, you know, I'm still learning lacrosse. I've never played it. It wasn't around when I was, you know, in high school and going through college. So I just want you to know that I'm about as novice as it comes to this sport. And, man, I'm telling you, the people at the Georgia Swarm could not be any cooler. They are some of the nicest people to work with. They get it. They understand that, like, you know, they're working uphill. Because even though they're the world champions from last season, a lot of people still don't know who they are. But they right. work, and I'm talking strictly on, like, a marketing side. I'm not even talking about anything that happens on the field. But they have done everything so right from – the concerts, from that diamond drop they did. They're having a big faith night coming up. I think it's the same night of WrestleMania. They've got some, it seems like every game they're doing more and more for the fans. And they're trying to get out there and they're trying to get known. And so I am actively rooting for this team to continue to grow and continue to succeed as I'm continuing to learn, you know, how this game actually works. Because it's kind of like hockey. Born and raised in the South, I never really got into hockey. I just know with lacrosse, if we put the ball in their net and we do it more than they put it in our net, then we win and we dance. And that's about all I know when it comes to the Georgia Swarm. But it is a great group of people. And, man, I just hope with every passing game they become more successful and build a bigger fan base.
Oh, yeah, I'm right there with you because everybody that I've met up there has just been fantastic. Like you said, if you don't know something, it reminds me of the hockey community because I've always been a big hockey fan, which is weird because I grew up probably not far from you. I really do stick out down here. But it's such a great community that if you turn around and ask anybody besides you a question, they will happily answer it and then explain more yep. instead of looking at you like, oh, he's one of the newbies or he doesn't know anything. No, even we had one of the players on a couple weeks ago, and he was like, anytime you want to talk lacrosse, even if it's not on your show, just hit me up on a text. Just, you know, tweet me. Do call me up sometime. If you have any kind of question, I will happily explain it. And the thing that I have taken away from lacrosse, not just from the way the Swarm do it and the way the NLL do it and everything, but lacrosse is a lot like hockey in that it's just a beautiful, pure game that sticks to its roots. Most people know where hockey came from and how it all started, and they really keep that basicness to it. That's what makes it as good as it is. Well, the Native American heritage part of it, as the Swarm will celebrate this weekend with their Native American Heritage Night, lacrosse likes to remind everybody, hey, we've been playing this game for a long time. It's one of the oldest official, like, recorded games that's been around, but we're not afraid to admit we came from Native American heritage. We came from – this is how this game come about, and they try to teach you so much of the history of it. And me being a big history person, a big sports fan, it was like home run central for us.
Yeah. And you know, and they are, they brought, where did they come from? Minnesota? They were originally the Minnesota Swarm. Am I right on that one?
I believe so.
I think that's what it is. But anyway, the group that came down are just consummate professionals and the behind the scenes people. And, you know, you hear Georgia Swarm, most people are like, I don't know what that is. Who are they? But they run that organization like true pros. And I hope they really do well. And I hope we got games. We got a game Saturday night. And then we have that in April. And I think the final home game is on the 28th of April. So I kind of hope they continue to build on some of the momentum and hopefully, fingers crossed, maybe make a playoff push.
I think they have one on the 8th as well of April. I'm trying to look at our calendar that's not on the right month beside me. But, they got the home game.
I think it's Saturday.
No,
and
wait.
One April 8th, and then one April 28th.
Right. Yeah, I think
you
got it there. That sounds right.
Hey, real quick, I have a question for you, and tell me if you're out of time or if I'm stepping out of line. I noticed in your Twitter bio you said you cover a little bit of wrestling too. Real quick, what do you think of Daniel Bryan? He's back.
That was actually our back pocket topic tonight, or it's going to be the back pocket. So if I had time, I was getting to it. So no, it's good, but it's – you know how media works and how especially being on the radio works is you always have those back pocket targets where if you have a certain amount of time or you need to fill 5 minutes, most of the time I will carve out time for wrestling, especially if I'm the only one on like tonight. I know me and one other host can talk wrestling all the time. So, but no, as long as Daniel Bryan or Bryan Danielson, the American Dragon, as most of us will know him, as long as he is medically cleared and as long as he is healthy enough, I have no problem with him being back in the ring, and I look forward to it. I think he's probably not going to wrestle much for WWE. I think he's going to get out of his contract, and he's going to head to Japan or Ring of Honor, one of these indie scenes, and probably feud with things like the Bullet Club and stuff like that. I think he's going to head to the independent scene to me, and I'm all for it because there's a better shot of us seeing him then.
So do you think even though despite him retiring a couple of years ago and the WWE was still good to him, still kept him on contract, still made him a part of the program, made him the GM of SmackDown, you think he would not reward their loyalty to him by sticking around and wrestling for them?
He could, but he knows that he's gonna go more towards doing things on his terms. And everybody
right.
who's wanted to do that have left. You got Phil Brooks or CM Punk, as he's known in wrestling, who wanted to do things on his terms. So he left. He started fighting. That's a whole different story on how that's worked out for him. But you look at Cody Rhodes, who walked out of a pretty lucrative deal, but he didn't like the way he was being booked. So he walks out. He's actually done quite well. There's a couple of these stories of those guys who were really good before they hit the big time, that were able to go to the indie scene because the indie scene is building up with the Kenny Omegas and the Kushiko Okadas and stuff in Japan. So I feel like Daniel may stick around for a minute, but I do know his contract should be up in the next month or so. So I feel like he could easily walk because, I mean, he's got money. He's got a brand new daughter, I believe, with Brie. So it's kind of, you know, do you want to kind of keep getting pushed around, jerked around a little bit by WWE for 300 days a year, or do you want to kind of wrestle maybe 100 days a year on the independent scene? So I think it's more appealing. He's got plenty of money that I think he's going to leave.
Interesting. That's a take that I haven't heard yet. I mean, I could understand it because he would be an indie darling. He could go anywhere he wanted and demand a high paycheck.
He would be the new AJ Styles, basically. When AJ left TNA, Impact, whatever in the world they want to call themselves nowadays, when he left there, he could have easily signed with anybody, but it's the same thing that Cody Rhodes did when he left WWE. He all of a sudden somebody got in their ear and they said, "You're in charge of your schedule now." So, A, you can't complain if you're not working because all you had to do was call and find out who would hire you, who would bring you in,
mm-hmm.
and B, you literally can wrestle only on the days you want to wrestle. So if you want to take 6 months off, take 6 months off. If you want to wrestle every day for the next 6 months, then do that too. And they really learn their worth. They're able to build up their equity and their brand, I think. And then at that point, if he decided to come back or if he decided to go, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and sign with these guys and just stay there.
And, you know, it's a different time too, because we look back when I think we both grew up around the same time. And a lot of these guys partied hard, you know, in their WWE days or WWF days. And, you know, they have the great stories that make the great books and the great podcasts. But then you see the guys nowadays, and when they're on the road, I mean, they go back to their room and have a protein shake, and they're in bed by 10 o'clock. So the longevity for them, you know, and injuries happen, but the longevity where they can be, continue to run the indie scenes for years and years and years, instead of becoming that guy from the 90s that's doing, you know, the VFW Tuesday night hit just to trying to make a mortgage payment, where you just kind of feel sorry for them. Or the kids nowadays, and I say kids, but you know, I say the younger superstars nowadays have treated themselves better and kind of learned better how to make the career last more than just when they're hot.
Yeah, exactly. Instead of turning into Mickey Rourke at the end of The Wrestler, basically.
Great analogy. Great analogy. Yes, very true.
Because, I trained to do it years back for a couple years. I helped set up the ring. I helped put on shows, those kinds of things. I was smart enough to get out to realize that I was not, you know, kind of like you did with baseball. When you realize that it's like in a poker room, when you can't find the sucker in a room of a poker game, it's probably you. And when I realized that I couldn't find one wrestler in a building, in a VFW or anything like that, or at a state park or anything like that, that I was better than, I realized maybe I should talk about it. Maybe I should go a different career path. So I was smart enough to get out before I scrambled my brains on the side of a pavement that I wouldn't remember. But running those kinds of shows, sometimes you do run into those guys and you just look and you shake your head and go, why are you still here? Do you just need the money that bad? Because I mean, maybe Walmart needs an overnight stocker. It's a lot safer.
Because they refuse to give it up and let it go. Because
yeah, it's a brotherhood.
I was look who I was back in the 80s. I'm still popular, right? Somebody
yep.
give me $10 and I'll give you my autograph.
Exactly.
I mean, I do that now. Hell, you come to a Braves game now, and I'm going to charge you $10 right now if you want your picture with me. So keep your distance, all right? I've got a huge ego, by the way. So make sure you keep your distance around me. I'm a bit of a jerk like that.
Oh yeah, and as we make it down to a lot of Braves games this year, we're going to try to make it to a lot more because I have this weird knack for being able to attend games, and this is not as a media representative, but I have this weird knack for being able to attend games without having to buy tickets, and I don't sneak
hey,
in
nice.
Or anything. I got out to SunTrust Park three times last year with three different groups of people and didn't pay for a single ticket. But I was able to get more people out. It did take a lot of hustle on my side to get a lot of those. But everybody that I took to SunTrust was like, you're right. This is a beautiful park. It's got something for everybody. It's like Turner Field in that even if you don't like baseball, you can have a good time at SunTrust Park. Or they have the whole Battery now that is just blowing up with all sorts of
yeah.
entertainment and concerts. And I mean, Dropkick Murphys was there the other day. I mean, these are big acts, and it's got something
mm-hmm.
for everybody. And then it's almost got more than enough for anybody. And on top of that, even if you don't like the Braves, you can use my strategy and go to see the other team.
That's right. And, you know, it's I talked to a lot of fans at Turner Field when they announced the move. And, I mean, fans were pissed, as well they should be. I mean, this is
right.
a lot of people that grew up for 20 years, you know, going to Turner Field, and that's all they know. And, you know, they love the familiarity of being in the area where Fulton County Stadium is now Turner Field. They said, oh, I'm never going to SunTrust. I'm never doing the Braves. I can't believe they're doing this. I'm so pissed off. I'm never going. I run into those same fans last season, the first year of SunTrust Park, and they say,
mm-hmm.
I couldn't imagine going anywhere else now. This place has exceeded my expectations when it comes to a ballpark. And I tell you, one of the biggest things about it is the size. Turner Field,
mm-hmm.
while beautiful, I love Turner Field. I mean, that looked like a ballpark to me. The brick and the iron, but it was just
mm-hmm.
too big. And we've said it a couple times tonight, baseball is a business. And there were some nights it was more expensive to turn the lights on and bring the employees in and have a baseball game than it was to actually play the baseball game. I mean, there are some nights you're actually, you're probably losing money because there's nobody
mm-hmm.
there. You know, it's the Braves are, you know, it's the end of the season. You know, there's no chance they're making, you know, a playoff push. The Marlins are in town. It's hot. The kids are back in school, and just nobody wants to come out there. So, but now you go to SunTrust Park, and they capped it at 41.6, and that's about as sold out as it can get. And I think they'll say that 41,000 is sold out, but they'll squeeze about another 600 in for standing room, and the place
mm-hmm.
looks great. But also with SunTrust, if there is a night when there's only 15,000 people there, it still looks like a good crowd because at
mm-hmm.
Turner Field, capacity was 53,000. 53,000 for a baseball game. It's hard for anybody, unless you're the Yankees or the Dodgers, to get 53,000 to a baseball game. So SunTrust Park, aside from the Battery, which is a huge success, everybody likes SunTrust just because it's intimate and it just feels
mm-hmm.
like a smaller ballpark and you're right on top of the game.
Well, and they did two things that really set it off to me. One, they didn't really overspend on any area. Everything is just at the level it should be. It's not like, wow, did we really need one that big? Or, oh, why did we have to do this thing? No, everything's perfect. And it seems like they put the right amount of money into the parking and walking situation there to where getting in and out of games is not that hard.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, I know there's a lot of controversy about them leaving Atlanta, and I know there's, you know, a lot of people up here in Cobb County, they're still pissed off at the Braves are here because taxes went up. You know, I mean, I'm a prime example. My taxes have gone up because of the ballpark, but guess what else went up? My property values, my home value just
uh-huh.
went up as well because of the ballpark. So, you know, and that's another debate for later on about who screwed who. Did Atlanta screw the Braves or the Braves screw Atlanta? But I tell you, all the fans that come really enjoy the ballpark, and Like I say, it's tighter. There's more to do. There's more food options. And that's the other thing. You, as much as I love going to a ball game and having a beer and a hot dog, you got to get the younger crowd in there too. And I don't want to sound like the old man that says these millennials, but you got to cater to these millennials because you got to have the craft beer. You got to have the gluten-free food, and you got to have, you know, more than just a hot dog. You've got to have a rotisserie, you know, corn-fed chicken or something like that. I mean, like, you need more options to bring in the younger generation of fans because they've got me. They've got you. They've got our friends and family. You got to start working on the 20-year-olds now so that they can grow up having a great experience and bring their kids. And that's what I think SunTrust has done a good job with.
Yep. Whether we like it or not, and I for one am for it because my degrees are in business and marketing, so I get it. But the millennials are the ones spending money right now. So that's, like you said, that's the people you got to get to the game.
Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you something. You go out to the Battery on a Thursday night and walk up to PBR, and there's a line out the door of those said millennials trying to get in. You go to Sports Social on a college football Saturday, and it is ass to elbow, pardon my French, of nothing but college football fans, you know, trying to get in there to watch the college football at the Battery. So, like I say, they know the crowd they're reaching out to, and they're doing a good job of hitting them.
That's a great thing, and I only hope that a few other teams in the greater metro area can see that target marketing actually works. But, Mark, it's been great having you on. I feel like I probably kept you past both our bedtimes at this point, but I'm not going to. We will cap this off for tonight and know that we will definitely pick up and continue this probably unofficially this weekend at the Swarm game and officially later on down the road. But it's been an absolute pleasure having you on, and we look forward to doing it down the road.
Thank you, man. I apologize for steering you in different directions, and I apologize if I took up too much of your time. But this is what happens when you get a couple of sports nerds talking about the love of the game.
Oh, plus wrestling. But, I mean, for anybody that listens to this show, they know that we start with one topic and we end up on the backside of some alley somewhere else talking about it. So it's literally at some point, if somebody tuned in halfway through having you on, they're going to think one of the other hosts were on anyway.
Oh, perfect. All right. Well, good. Well, listen, man, I enjoyed it. I really appreciate it. And hope you have a good rest of the week. And I will see you Saturday, I guess, up at the Swarm game.
Yep, at the Infinite Energy Center that did lose power one day. So maybe they should think of renaming it.
That's funny. The Generator Center.
Yep. The Backup Generator Center. There we go. But we will see you. We will see you Saturday. I would say bright and early, but that is a 7 o'clock game, I believe. So we will see you mid-evening.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Hope you have a good rest of the show, and we'll talk to you then.
All right. We'll see you later, Mark.
All right, bud.
And that was Mark Owens from 92.9 The Game. He is also the in-game host of the Georgia Swarm, as we said, who do have a game this Saturday, and also the Atlanta Braves, who will be firing up very soon. Yeah, honestly, I will go ahead and say it. Me and Mark talked earlier. In the times leading up to this, we do talk a lot at Swarm games, but we're going to probably talk for about 10, 15 minutes, tell everybody about some experiences, but that was going so well, we decided to extend it. So I hope you guys enjoyed all that. In between all that, we did give out the social media shout out. Tonight's Sports Club social media shout out is Jeff Dollar. He is at @JeffDauler, at Jeff Dollar. Thanks for giving Mark that opportunity and give him a heads up because it put us on a path where we met. He was able to come on here. He was a fantastic guest. And we're going to try to finish up and do a few things here. We will get out of here for the night, I believe. Has that game started yet? The game they have on in the back here. It'll be the Washington Capitals and the Detroit Red Wings if you're watching NBCSN. You know, we're big hockey people this time around. Also, the NCAA basketball brackets. I think they're the Elite Eight, Sweet 16. I think it's Sweet 16 are playing tonight. So definitely check out some of those. I want to switch real quick and talk some golf. Then I'll give you a few things about the Falcons and the rest of the league, and we will get out of here for the night. I want to talk some golf, and not just Tiger Woods, because it is good that Tiger Woods is getting his swing back. He seems to be pain-free. He seems to be having a good time, and he seems to be really hammering the ball, even when he probably shouldn't have. Right, Tiger? Yeah. For those of you who don't know, on the 16th hole, where he was clearly in contention, I believe he was leading it. He might have been within a shot at the time. He decided to muscle up on a driver on 16, and he pulled it into the out-of-bounds area to his left. It ultimately ended up dropping the tournament kind of at that point. But, no, it's a big day for Nike. It was a big day for golf. It was a big day for Nike. Not just did Tiger Woods finish in the top four for the second straight week, not only did the ratings go through the roof. I mean, the only golf tournaments in the last 10 years that have had higher ratings than the last 2 weeks, which are non-majors, were basically Augusta. Everybody tunes in for the Masters because it's the Masters, but everybody's tuning in because of Tiger and because of Phil now, because Phil's upped his game again. But Rory McIlroy was able to win. It's a big day for Nike because Tiger is still with Nike, or Nike's still with Tiger. That's a better way to put it. Nike stuck with Rory. So it was a huge day for Nike. They get the number one and number four finishing guys, who are also two of the best in the world. Rory needed the momentum. It looks like he's getting his swing back just in time. Because I'll tell you right now, Tiger is exceptional at drawing power. Phil is really good, and Rory can be really good. You give me those three and a field of 40 other guys that at least two or three of are going to come out of nowhere, people I've never heard of to be in contention, and you've got one of the best Masters lineups we've seen in a long time. The usual suspects, the Jordan Spieths and Jason Days and all those guys will be there too. But if you tell me that Tiger and Phil and Rory and some smaller guys that usually come out of nowhere, a lot of times South African guys have a lot of really good scores in Augusta. But golf is slowly climbing its way back after about a 10-year hiatus. It did have to do with Tiger. It got too popular, so when it burst, they had nowhere to go. When Tiger failed, it failed. But now golf's back. Huge day for golf. Huge day for Nike. Congratulations to Tiger, to Rory, to DeChambeau, I believe was his name, ended up in second place. That guy can play. That guy hit some incredible shots that are part luck and part absolute skill. But big day for golf. I wanted to mention that. I wanted to also mention the Atlanta United with their big win at home versus the Vancouver Whitecaps, I believe is what they are. A lot of people say, well, the only reason that they dominated that game was there was a red card early on Vancouver. First of all, that guy deserved that red card. He got lucky that it took him that long to figure it out, honestly. Although his reaction when it came, when he got showed the card was pretty funny. Now, overall, they were going to outplay Vancouver anyway. Vancouver's a really good team, but Atlanta is really good at home. But another big win. They are 2-1 on the season. Just wanted to give a shout-out to that. Atlanta United seems to be back in the swing of things, and you'll see us at some games coming up pretty soon. We'll have details on that coming up. Let's see. I saw a story the other day where the Miami Dolphins hope that the stadium upgrades will bring more Super Bowls. They want to get in the Super Bowl rotation. Well, you know, there's a good chance that could probably happen because the weather's usually pretty good in Miami in February, so makes it worthwhile to play there. That's something the NFL looks at. That's why for these draft cities, a lot of times it might be the colder weather cities because, yeah, it doesn't matter. It'll be a lot better to go to these. Maybe even moving the combine around. That may be a good thing as well. But no, what struck me, and maybe this is the snarkiness coming out in me, and I am halfway through this cup of coffee, so there's a good chance it might have something to do with it. Now, the Dolphins saying that they hope the stadium upgrades will bring Super Bowls, the first thing that popped in my head is, well, fans are hoping that the Dolphins front office can bring up a team that can do more than attend one. So maybe they can figure that out. We'll talk. I see the text line. I appreciate you guys tonight hanging with us because of the long segment. Won't be able to take callers, unfortunately. But next week we'll look into that. The Spring League that we'll get into next week, I saw where they're adding Zach Mettenberger. I think that's great. I think Mettenberger can still play. He can still play in this league. I don't know why he was phased out. You know, some of these teams that need a quarterback should look at some of those guys, even the Blaine Gabberts of the world. But Vontaze Burfict, I told you he found a way to get suspended that he had not yet accomplished. He got popped with a 4-game PED ban. Of all the things he's done so far, apparently he has not failed a PED drug test up until now. He's trying to use all these same excuses that people used about 10 years ago, So Perfect enjoy taking the first four games off. Bengals enjoy the fact that he can't play 16 full games without getting suspended. And it is what it is. Another topic I will get into in the next couple of weeks because it's a long topic. Like I said, we'll save the Spring League and we'll talk about the Houston Texans next week. The Jets and Colts trade, the Jets moving up to number 3 in response, sending the number 6, number 37, number 49, and a second round pick next year to the Colts. The Colts need bodies. They're trying to fight a war. You need at least, you know, probably 75 total by the time you start practice squad and everything else and inactives. You need 75 to be a competing team in this league, and they probably have 40. So they got to go get some players, and the best way to do that is accumulate picks. Plus, they have Andrew Luck. They have Jacoby Brissett. There's no reason to be in the top three. There's no one player up there that's going to turn your franchise around that you don't already have a position for. So genius move there. The Jets basically just want to block the Bills. I don't think they really know what they want to do with the pick. I think they think somebody may trade up to it. There's a chance they would. I think Sam Darnold goes 1. I think the Giants at 2 could go quarterback, although I do believe they'll probably go offensive lineman and run with Eli. I think they're good at quarterback if it was me. So any of those quarterbacks will be sitting there at 3. The Jets should probably take one and drop Teddy Bridgewater. They only owe him $500,000 if they do that. Nothing personal to Bridgewater, but dead arm with a coming off a blown-out knee and a non-contact injury. Yeah, noodle arm doesn't work in the New York wind. So nothing personal, Teddy, but that's not Arizona would have been where I would have signed if I was you. But good for the Jets, good for the Colts. Both of them did exactly what they needed to do. The Jets are at least in a spot where they could either trade out of it or take it. We'll see what happens there. As far as things that happened with the Falcons, there are three short notes that I think you all will appreciate and agree with. We signed former 49er tight end Logan Paulson. He is a run blocker, so basically we got rid of Laveen Toilolo to get a smaller, bulkier version of him. I do think he can catch more than one pass a game successfully, so that's a good thing. Welcome to the team, Logan Paulson. Cody Say is a pretty good player after seeing him out in San Francisco for a year. Thomas Dimitroff says he wants to get the Ryan deal done yesterday. He wants to get it done soon. I do think Ryan is going to be the highest paid for about a week, pretty much until Aaron Rodgers signs for $30 million a year. Because if Aaron doesn't sign for at least $30 million a year, I think he should fire his agent. Matt Ryan will probably get $28.5 million a year, $29 million, somewhere in there. They're going to make it to where Aaron Rodgers pretty much has to make $30 million in his next one. And then finally, they were able to strike a deal and re-sign defensive end Derek Shelby. I thought the Cowboys might try to make a run at him. They did not. So Derek Shelby is back. I like Derek Shelby, and I think he's going to do some good things this year. He was one of my favorite members of the team last year. He did some unbelievably great things. But seemed like a ramble there at the end, but had a great time tonight. Hope you guys had a good time. Want to give a shout out to our guest tonight. That was Mark Owens from 929 The Game, as well as being the in-game host of the Swarm and Braves. Appreciate all you guys tonight. It was a fantastic show, as always. We're going to settle in and watch this Red Wings Capitals game. I'm going to go ahead and say I think the Capitals are going to win 4-3. If that hits, then you may not hear us next week, because I will probably be in Vegas. I'm never good at predicting games like that, but I'm Jeremy the Impact York. Shout out to Mark Owens. Shout out to the Swarm, the Braves, the Hawks, Georgia State, Kennesaw State that start their football spring program or spring games in the next couple weeks. We'll be at those as well. We will see you guys next week. Go Falcons. Make a bag, get up. Make a bag, get up. Back, get up. I got them shaking they boobies like Congo, man. I'm shaking the city like Quake. Yeah. I hate them blue in the face like John Zucker. I'm drinking the cake, so let's bake. Yeah. I'm taking the game's mine. Yeah, I witness the change, it's my time. Yeah, I'm new to the game, but y'all might wanna say you whack rap, stay like save the time. I can dance, homie, I don't choose, yeah. Y'all looking at something like a true player. A
girl told me that a man that could dance might could possibly get down with the tool in his pants. Now I'm a lady, let me see it vibrate. And when it's over, you ain't gonna need your bird. Cause I'm a pro, make you bend your back low, then the pounder real fast, just like the percolator.
Wobble, baby, wobble, baby, wobble, baby, wobble, yeah. Wobble, baby, wobble, baby, wobble, baby, wobble, yeah.
You guys are warriors.